off.
You know, it's really good pretzels is Soda Retreat. They're like homemade. They're not like this. They're really, really good.
I need to go there. I love a soft pretzel, but this one's not great.
Next time we record, I'll get one for you. This is like really chewy, though, I feel like.
Right?
Is it usually that chewy?
No. I'm not thrilled about it, but it's still good.
And that's always the worst.
I will eat the whole thing. Okay. You're like looking forward to something.
Yes. Because I got, when I was there, I got like their cookie, their dough bites. Yeah. I was like, that sounds delicious. I got the peanut butter ones, and they did not taste good.
What is going on over there?
I don't know.
Have they been poisoning the air so then everything's gross?
Maybe.
I think that's it.
That's got to be it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I left them in my car because I'm like, these are trash. Oh, man. Okay. I'll finish chewing this and then
Okay. We
could start. Because this is really hard to chew.
It is.
Yeah.
It's excessive.
What did you just say?
It's excessive. What do you think I said?
I just couldn't even tell. Are you getting into the book, though? Is it getting a little better?
Yes, it's good now. I want her and Kale to be in love.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, there's all that chemistry with Dorian. What is
it? Dorian.
With Dorian, but I'm like,
you're going to die.
I prefer Kale.
Gonna die. It's so good.
It is the slowest burn of the century.
Nothing spicy happens until book 6. And even then, it's not even that much.
Oh my hell.
I was dying. Have you seen the, it's like on Instagram Reels or TikToks, and it's like someone reading a book, and she's like, hi, how are you? And she's like, none of these pleasantries, show me your wiener.
No?
That is so funny. I die. And they're like with the slow burn books, you know?
That's hilarious.
Listen, if I find one, I'll send it to you.
I love a slow burn, but like too slow is like, now I'm annoyed.
I know. Yeah. It's...
So I we're feel not like, there yet. I'm yeah, not yeah. annoyed level.
But. Yeah, I didn't get annoyed because there's so much other stuff that happens.
Yeah.
And, like, from what, like, people have said, and I kind of agree, is, like, ACOTAR was, like, romantasy. So, like, very romance and fantasy. Mm-hmm. And Throne of Glass is more fantasy with, like, some romance.
Okay.
So
that's good to know.
Yeah.
I'll shift my perspective.
Yeah. Oops. So there is some, but it's like a side thing. It's not like the main thing.
I'm a sucker for a romance. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, I just love you to Colton.
I know.
I'm like, you're just the best. I'm so in love.
I'm bummed that the Crescent City that I'm reading right now is too much.
Too trashy.
It is too trashy. Like, it's even getting a little excessive for me.
Really?
And I'm not sensitive to that stuff.
Spice or just, like, the vibe?
Both. Mm. Like, we could cut this. Okay, but
we'll cut it.
There's a scene that, like, it's so uncomfortable. I'm like, oh, please stop.
Like, why?
I know.
That's just not necessary.
No, and
let
I kind of,
mind
like,
wander.
Right. And I feel like... And because in Throne of Glass, like the love story that is in there, it's like a deep like love where they just understand each other and they love each other. Mm-hmm. But then this, it just feels like super like surface level. Mm-hmm. So you don't like really love their love, you know?
It's like lust.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So, and it's so fantasy. Like I had a really hard time for the first half because it's like angels and... It has fae and it has wolves and like shifters and like all of these other like things and then like reapers and it's like crazy. It's too much at the beginning. And then after it like gets off all of the, like it talks about it all and then it stops saying all of it so much, you know, like you just know who everyone is.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, it's a lot. So I don't know. Like yeah. I like it. Like at the end of the first book, it was like, heart-wrenching and I was like sobbing and it was like it was a good ending I felt like, but I'm on the second one right now and it's a good, like it's a good story and I feel like she could have done it so it wasn't so trashy and you still would have really liked it, you know.
Uh-huh.
So But I won't give you the rundown because I'm really bad at that. So maybe I could just send you.
Perhaps.
I'll send you the. Because the third book has like an ACOTAR crossover, is what I've heard.
How? Because it was
so
different times.
I think it's because it's different worlds. But then the worlds collide, kind of like a multiverse situation, you know?
That's wild.
I know, we'll see. Throne of Glass at the end has a little ACOTAR
being
in there. Anyway.
I just am not ready for ACOTAR to be over, but I just don't want to read the Nesta book. I really don't.
Did you read the article I sent you that, like, she breaks it all down?
No.
Oh.
I was like, oh, open a tab. I need to read that.
Yeah.
Proceeded to not.
That's fine. You're reading Throne of Glass, and yeah. I want to talk to you about it.
I have too many reading things. Well, and I had to hurry and finish reading the book I was reading to read Throne of Glass because I didn't want to start before I was finished.
Yeah.
Which, what I have found, I've accidentally stumbled into smutty books a handful of times. I even read reviews and people be like, the spice isn't that bad. And I'm like, what are you usually reading?
I know.
Because this is excessive.
Yeah.
But the story sucks. I'm like, you spent so much time focusing on smut that I'm like irritated at the story. Like I read one about these people that fall in love and he's a hockey player. And
is it Icebreaker?
That's a whole genre. No.
I've heard that one is pretty raunchy.
Yeah.
Pure smut.
So I'm not reading that. I did hear that, so I'm not reading it. It was one I got for free on, like, Stack Your Kindle Day.
Oh.
And, yeah, so I'm reading it, and, like, do you care if I spoil?
No, I'm not going to read it.
I wouldn't recommend it. It was fine. It was a palate cleanser, basically.
Yeah.
It was fine. So they fall in love, whatever. She dated her high school sweetheart who went, like, pro football player,
mm-hmm.
and he was, like, an a-hole. So she's like, I'll never date an athlete again. And then she dates this hockey player and is like, it'll be so different. He's so great. Me. And, like, his coach and some, like, the team owner bring him in and are like, if you don't break up with her until the off season, like, we're going to trade you or something. And so he's like, goes over to her house. And she's all excited and is like, hey, like, they're in love, right?
Yeah.
And he's been, like, the perfect man up until now. And he just, like, dumps her ass and he's like, I have to focus on hockey. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
You're like, this is so stupid.
It was dumb. So then she's like, screw him.
Yeah.
And then she goes to the game anyway. And he, like, comes over to her with flowers and is like, sorry. And she's all, kiss me. She literally, that's what she said. And
really?
I was like, oh, my hell. It was so stupid. And then they lived happily ever after. I'm like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever read. It was so dumb.
That's so funny.
Like, I just finished the book and I'm like, I'm
like,
annoyed I read that.
I wasted my time.
Yeah.
Okay, I have to show you though, like the main guy, his name is
Crescent City.
Hunt, and he's like,
damn,
yummy, he's an angel.
I can see the wings. I actually usually look up characters because sometimes I have a hard time visualizing.
Imagining, yeah.
Yeah.
Woo. I know. I love
you
seeing
know
people's
I love
like
them tall,
fan
dark, and
art.
Handsome.
I know. It's so good. Yeah. And then this is another guy. He's a wolf, but he, you know, he has like his human form.
What is his name?
It's Ethan, but with
Why
an I.
Why spell it so stupid?
I don't know. But Ethan. The main girl is, her name is Bryce.
Oh, I kind of like that for a girl.
But she's like a redhead.
Like the actress in Jurassic World.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think, what is her name? Bryce Howard?
They probably
Howard or
created
something?
Her after her.
Yeah, probably.
A redheaded Bryce. What are the odds?
What are the odds? Yeah. I love seeing, like, the fan art of people's stuff.
I do, too. Like, every time Stephanie Garber posts about Jack.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like,
oh, yeah, that's a good one.
So good.
Yeah. Anyway,
5-minute book club. Maybe this will be a Patreon. I'll
just cut yeah, you could just cut this. It off. Yeah. Yeah. Or we could let people listen. I don't know. To our rambling. I don't know if people are interested in our ramblings.
Let us know. I'll keep it. It won't be a Patreon. But we do chat like this on Patreon. So if this is your jam, go sign up.
Yep. Hey, yep. Oh. Okay. Let's start. Do we do the intro even though we've already been talking?
Yeah. Okay. Do okay. I start?
Yes.
Okay. Well, now it's kind of weird.
It's a little awkward.
Okay. Hang on. I just gotta get my giggles out of my face. Welcome back to the Crime Conspiracy Show.
This is Ciara.
This is Megan.
And today I'm covering the Montauk Project conspiracy.
This sounds so familiar already.
So there's a movie or a documentary and a few books that a guy has written about it. Mm-hmm. The reason I came across it was have you heard of the Montauk Monster?
No.
Okay. So I thought it had to do with the Montauk Project because I've heard both.
Yeah.
But the Montauk Monster is actually from a different conspiracy called Plum Island. What? So that's another one on my list that I'll do.
Okay.
But the Montauk Monster isn't Montauk Project.
That's confusing.
Isn't it confusing? And I looked, I was like, well, are they close to each other? And they're not. I mean, they're like decently close. Like,
maybe I looked up on Google Maps. Maybe the name is cursed.
I know. Montauk. Because I don't know. I didn't understand why it was called that if it was from Plum Island, is what they think. Because Plum Island is in Massachusetts.
Okay.
And then Montauk is in Long Island, New York. So well, it's not like far, but it is. I mean, it's like a 5.5-hour drive.
Yeah, how weird.
Yeah, super weird. Anyway, that's how I thought about it because I remember seeing something about that. And so then I searched Montauk Project because I thought that's what it was, and then it was different. So
here anyway, we are.
Here we are. So the Montauk Project is a conspiracy theory that alleges there were a series of United States government projects conducted at Camp Hero in Montauk, New York, and it was for the purpose of developing psychological warfare techniques and other research, including time travel and a bunch of other things.
Okay, yeah, I've totally heard about this.
So in my
like a lot.
Yeah. In my research, Stranger Things is based off of it.
That's why this is on my list.
Yeah. Because
I was like, it's Stranger Things in real life.
Yes. So that's And I think read something that said the director of Stranger Things was gonna have it based in like that area. Because, like,
and we're then they said, we'll kill you if you out us.
Probably, but then they changed it to Indiana for some reason.
I just told you the reason.
That is the reason. So, it was the island, Montauk Island, was an army base during World War II and an Air Force station during the Cold War. Camp Hero was decommissioned in 1981, and it's now owned by the State Park System. It's on 755 acres with thick forests and wetlands, and because it's like an island, you can like see the ocean all around it. So it's just really pretty.
This is just, I'm already, the wheels are turning.
It was interesting because the conspiracies that I can't find a lot about are ones where I'm like, this has to be real.
Yeah, and of course you can't find a lot because they've wiped it.
Yeah. The things you do find are like people trying to debunk it or saying like this guy was a loon, you know? Like
yeah, that's the stuff you find. Yeah, but they did that with aliens and UFOs and then they were like, just kidding.
Yeah, right. On the base, like because it's Camp Hero, there's like a they called it a SAGE radar tower.
Okay.
So it was constructed in the event of a Soviet nuclear attack with the intention of giving the U.S. a 30-minute warning. And the antenna emitted up to 425 megahertz, MHZ. I don't know if it's milli or mega.
What other word could we come up with?
Multi-hertz? which is the frequency allegedly needed to enter human consciousness, which is interesting.
Okay.
And even locals.
Pause.
Yeah.
This just went off.
What did?
My phone.
For what?
No, like I got a text or something and it went gunk and I didn't realize I left it on that.
I didn't even hear it.
Good. That's my bad. It keeps showing up like all my calendar items. I've already cleared them 3 times. I got it. I'm aware of my day.
Technology.
Yeah. I'm already at pod recording. So.
So locals who lived around the area who did, like, they don't believe in the conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
They admit that when the tower was up and running, it interfered with television sets and other electronics, and that many people reported suffering from headaches.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, because there was, like, the base on top, and there was, like, a church that – it was, like, not a church, but it looked like a church that they built that was actually, like, a gym or whatever. So
– what?
Yeah, because they were trying to not make it seem like it was an army base, I guess.
Okay.
So, but after they decommissioned it, people think there was still, like, underground stuff going on. Like,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So, one resident said, I don't want to add fuel to the fire because I don't believe in all the zombie stuff. But the impact that tower had on the town was real. I don't know if it affected our thoughts like some people say, but it was a force.
That's so creepy.
This is what it looked like. What it looks like now, because it's like all breaking apart. But that was like the satellite thing.
Weird.
Yeah.
It looks like a giant hot dog.
Yeah, it doesn't even think about that.
Like if you went to like the capital of Wiener Schnitzel, they would have that up there and then the front of it just broke off. So you're just seeing like the hot dog scaffolding.
That's hilarious because it totally does. That's so funny.
I've cracked the code.
So the rumors about Camp Hero, like I said in the beginning, it was a site of secret government experiments, which involved mind control, time travel, wormholes, teleportation, and kids hooked up to wires in hidden underground labs. So that was like the rumors. The rumors took hold in 1992, which was 11 years after the military base was decommissioned. The book called The Montauk Project, Experiments in Time by Preston Nichols. He told of Nazi-style experiments that meddled genetically and physiologically with kidnapped local boys.
Ugh.
So
who's that guy?
So from what I read, it was hard to find a lot about him because, again, people were like, he's just a kook. Or they said his books are fiction. They're science fiction. And so it's all just a story, you know.
Yeah.
But he said from something I had read that he was forced to work there and like brainwashed, forced to work there. And so he like helped with the experiments, but then he ended up like leaving, but then the memories of working there didn't come until like way later in his life. Like he went to like some hypnotist or something to
unlock the trauma.
Yeah, is what he said, allegedly.
That's wild.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a thing. Your brain will just block things out.
Yeah.
Or they could have done that on purpose.
Right.
But you can access like locked up memories through hypnosis therapy.
Yeah. Crazy. So a man named Paul Fagan, he was a local in the area. He spent 14 years exploring Camp Hero and researching government documents at the National Archives in Manhattan. He told the Post that there may be a nuclear reactor secretly buried at the site, installed around 1958 as part of the Cold War era Army nuclear power program. He suspects that the conspiracy theories about the camp may have been planted to deflect from the possible reactor. So that was his thought. He's like, yeah, they are just a rumor, but there is something there.
Interesting.
So, and then there's a man named Joe Lofreno, and he grew up in Montauk, and he now works as a parks employee at Camp Hero. And he sincerely believes he's one of the lost and tortured boys that is talked about.
What?
So he said, I didn't believe it until 2 years ago. I was hypnotized by a certified hypnotist for about 40 minutes, and all these memories flooded back. Oh. They did a very bad thing to us out there. We were just little kids. They had no right to experiment on us. It was a very dark, very evil thing.
What?
Yeah. And then, like, in the article, too, they're like, and he isn't, like, he doesn't seem like some crazy person. Like, he has a girlfriend. He has a job. Like, he's stable. Yeah. You know? He believes he was abducted and abused during the summer of 1980 and possibly during the summer of 1981 when he was 12 or 13.
Oh, my gosh.
He recalled under hypnosis that a local boy whom no one knew very well invited him to bike to the base. So that was, like, how he was lured there.
Wild.
I know. He said the first time there were two men waiting dressed in civilian clothes. They ushered the boys into a sunken house on the base. Later, he said he and the other boys were brought underground through Battery 113, which was like a, it showed like a picture of it. It's like kind of a door, like a cement kind of garage.
Okay.
That they like said they had like weapons in or whatever. One of the sealed gunneries left from World War II. So it was a sealed gunnery. He remembers lying on a table with wires coming out of him like electrodes. They analyzed us like animals. He said there were up to 50 other kids there. He believes some of them were later killed.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
Do we know about murders around that time?
I don't know. So I don't remember if I have this in here, but it's likely that they targeted like runaways or orphans or like just kids that were like had parents that were drug addicts, you know, just like
wouldn't be noticed.
Wouldn't be noticed. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
He said that while under hypnosis, he went to the location he remembered with another parks employee, Charlie, who was also interviewed by the Post. There they found remnants of the sunken house from his visions.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Oh, isn't that crazy? Gosh, that's scary.
Yeah.
That would, like, really shake me to my core if I was him.
I know. I wonder what, like, prompted him to go to the hypnotist.
Yeah, like, was it that or was he dealing with something else and that was kind of the result accidentally?
Yeah, I don't know.
Hmm, interesting, interesting.
Yeah. Another man, Stuart Swerdlow. He was a 52-year-old man living in Michigan, told The Sun in 2017 that he was one of the Montauk boys that Nichols describes in his book, and that he and others like him were subjected to horrific abuse. He said when the experiment started, they target expendable boys like orphans, runaways, or the children of drug addicts, the kind of kids no one would really come looking for. The aim was to fracture your mind so they could program you. They would change the temperature from very hot to very cold, starve you, then overfeed you. I remember being beaten with a wooden pole, and they loved to hold your head underwater until you nearly drowned. That was effective.
Jeez.
It makes a person likely to listen to and obey their rescuer. They also used LSD to put our brains into an altered state.
And we know they've done that. Like, they've experimented on people with LSD and tried to, like, get in their head.
Right. That's so the other stuff is honestly not surprising.
No, I wouldn't put it past them at all. Like, if this all came out, they're all, yeah, okay, we did that.
Right.
It's awful and shocking, but I'm like, I would not be surprised.
No. I mean, especially because it does seem like a very, like, those, what he says, seem like tactics that would be used to, like, try to control somebody. Like, 100%. The extremes, like, very cold and very hot and starving and overfed and, like, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Crazy. So like I said, Preston Nichols, he's the one that wrote that book. He says he was brainwashed and forced against his will to take part in the experiments at Camp Hero between 1971 and 1981. So for like 10 years, which is crazy.
Yeah.
In the 70s and 80s, he led something called the Psychotronic Movement that claimed government agents used electromagnetic waves to plant thoughts in people's heads. Nichols, who he died 2 years after he talked about this, claimed he was part of the so-called Montauk Project, but recovered his memories after the fact. So, like, he didn't remember it until after. And then I didn't know he wrote other books as well. So he wrote The Montauk Project, Experiments in Time, and then Montauk Revisited, Adventures in Synchronicity, Pyramids of Montauk, Explorations in Consciousness, The Black Sun, Montauk's Nazi Tibetan Connection,
what?
And Montauk the Alien Connection.
Okay, there's too much going on for me.
So, yeah, it was interesting. And like I said, I searched for a really long time. And there was some other podcasts out there, which I didn't listen to. And I wanted to watch the documentary, but I didn't get to it yet, which maybe they have more information on there. But just like searching and trying to find like articles, there's really not a ton.
Which I feel like is evidence that it has to be true.
Right.
Like, do you know what I mean? When there's a topic like this that's like such a hot topic, and especially once Stranger Things came out and was so successful, you would think there'd be like a million more articles mm-hmm. on Montauk Project. So yeah, I just feel like there's got to be something there.
Yeah, and it's like some, you know, some conspiracy theorists and some, I don't know, people sometimes just think like with Hollywood – they kind of like put things in front of your face as a movie, but it's like something that's actually true.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, there's certain movies that, you know, are from the future and they seem like super outlandish, but then it's like, well, this could maybe be a possibility, you know?
Yeah.
And so, with like Stranger Things, they do it and they're like, well, this is what could have happened, you know?
Yeah.
So, it's interesting.
That's really interesting.
Because, I don't know, like, there's too many people that have talked about it, especially, like, even just in, like, the few things I did read that said they were a part of it or, like, they had memories of it. And it's, like, I never really understand what anyone's reason would be to lie.
Yeah, not in that case. I think the government has every reason to lie. They do it all the time.
Right.
Well, like, we just look at semi-recent examples, like the CIA being involved in the JFK assassination. Right. That was written off and, like, same thing, censored and all these things. Well, then finally those are declassified and it comes out that, like, yeah, that was actually a thing.
Right.
And same thing with UFOs. Like I said, like, mm-hmm. so many people were written off and made to look stupid. And then they come out and they're like, yeah, that's a real thing.
Yeah.
So why, like, I don't know. When things like this pop up, I'm like, well, why would this be any different? If they've done it before in those scenarios, then, like, why wouldn't they do it here too?
Right. I know. And then, like, MK Ultra.
Yeah. Like, same
that
thing.
That is something that they did. And they admitted that they did.
And this is similar to that.
Yeah. It's projects with, like, trying to alter people's minds.
Which is so messed up. Like, I like to think that there are, like, so many good people in the world and in, like, high up positions like that.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they sincerely think they're doing the right thing. But how do you get behind trying to alter an innocent person's mind? I don't get that at all.
Especially like young boys that are just like so innocent.
Kids.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It's crazy. Right. Because MKUltra was like the LSD experiments, right? That's what it all was. And I'm sure there was other stuff.
Well,
involved.
Yeah. There's a whole lot that can go into that. But.
And this, you know, this one guy mentioned that they did use LSD and other things that seem very, like, practical for them
like
to
do. Like,
that
they would have done, yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know about, like, because, you know, it talks about the time travel and...
Right, but experimenting on people in an abusive way, 100%. What exactly that entailed, who knows?
Right.
But, yeah, I'm not surprised by that. I think that that's 100% true. Like, yes, our government has experimented on innocent human beings
mm-hmm.
in abusive ways.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
that's not a secret.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so that's honestly all I've got. I think maybe the documentary probably has more. Obviously, it's longer. But I also don't know where they got all their information. Because I was, like, searching. I even went to, like, I was, like, Reddit. Good old Reddit.
Yeah.
But I didn't – a lot of the things I found on Reddit were people saying, like, this is crazy. Like, this is going to be true, you know?
I think it's crazier to say that something like that is impossible than it is to say that it is possible.
Yeah.
Like, human beings have done terrible things. I don't think that that's impossible.
Right.
Like, I think it's weird to be like, that would never happen. That's literally happened. People yeah. have admitted to that happening.
Yeah, that's so true. That is so true. And just, like, yeah, the, like, torture of it and stuff, like, that's not far-fetched.
No. Not at all.
Yeah.
It kind of makes me sick to think about.
I know. It's really sad. And it's kind of terrifying.
Well, yeah. I mean, we're kind of, like, in an experiment, right? Look at propaganda that's mm-hmm. pushed all the time. I feel like we're never not being fed freaking propaganda.
I mean, you even think about, like, the... I think I'm going back to, like, kids, young kids, and, like, their brains are so, like, malleable.
Yeah.
And they're so impressionable. Is that
yeah.
the right word?
Yeah.
And with, like, social media. Like, sometimes yep. I feel like social media is an experiment.
Oh, it totally is. I mean, if it's not an experiment, it does affect kids. Like, yeah. look at depression, suicide, eating disorders. Look at that pre-social media mm-hmm. and post-social media. And, like, the things that are fed to them curate that exact thing.
I know. I think about when we were in high school, which was, like, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And we had Instagram and yeah. Facebook. But Instagram was literally just brand your friends new. Posting pictures.
Yeah.
Of themselves. And, like, it that was brand new. It. And then Facebook was, like, I look back at my statuses and I'm oh my so gosh, embarrassed.
It's humiliating. It's humiliating.
But it's crazy. And then I look at my husband's siblings who are all younger and they're yeah. in high school, a little bit older and in high school and younger. And I'm like, man, I don't know if I could have done it.
No, it would have wrecked me.
Yeah. Like I already
my
was
kids
like,
will not have social media for a no. hot minute.
Nick asked me, he's like, because was like, my friend has a phone because it's like a Gab phone or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
My son. and he's like, when will I get a phone? I'm like, when you're 16.
That's what I've always said.
Yes. And Nick was like, really? When you're 16? I'm like, yeah. He's like, but you don't want him to be the weirdo that like doesn't have a phone. I'm like, I don't care.
If being the weirdo means they're not suicidal, I do want them to be the weirdo.
I know.
Like, maybe I'll do something like a Gab phone, you know, something more limited. But as for like a full-on smartphone, not until they're 16. And I even debated about doing 18, but I also think I would like some time with them in my home mm-hmm. where they have access to social media, where we can talk about how to use social media in like a positive way and mm-hmm. not overdo it. And they can learn that with you rather than they like move out, they're on their own and they're trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
That's the only reason I would do it before 18.
And I think sometimes like if you like if a kid especially is like withheld from something, then yeah. when they get it, they go nuts over it, you know?
Yep, exactly.
And so it's like you gotta introduce it
little pieces
in like
at a
moderate.
Time. Yeah.
Yeah. So I know. Anyway, that we took a little turn. A little detour there, talking about kids' brains. But that's what's really sad, too, is, like, if they were doing those experiments on teenagers, younger than teenagers.
Yeah.
Like, it would really affect them for their whole life.
Oh, 100%.
Because your brain is not fully developed, and if they're doing that during those, like, really important times in their life.
Yeah, what kind of damage has been done?
Yeah.
Like, trust issues for all of them, I'm sure, but more than that.
Yeah.
And your body, even if they, like, the memories were essentially erased or blocked,
mm-hmm.
your body will hold on to that trauma.
Yeah.
Like, even if your mind can't go back to that and remember it.
Yeah. And I wonder, like, how many of the kids didn't withstand the torture. And yeah. So they were killed or died or, you know, like.
Well, and the one saying they held their head underwater until they almost drowned. How many were like, yeah. Oh, that was too long. Oops.
Right. Right. It's so scary to think about that.
Yeah, I don't like that at all.
Ugh. Yeah. Anyway, that's all I've got. So.
Oof.
That was a little heavy.
It's like heavy.
A bomb thrown at you.
Yeah. I did not expect that.
I know. That's the thing is when I was thinking about it and I thought it was the Montauk Monster, I thought like, because I remember like reading about Plum Island.
Yeah.
Which I thought that was like the same thing, but it wasn't. And that was more like the conspiracy of that is they were doing like chemical experiments, you know. Mm. So it was like this creepy creature looking thing that washed up on a shore on the island.
Gotcha.
So that was the Montauk Monster. So then I thought I was going into it. I was like, that's what this is going to be.
It's going to be like a Nessie kind of thing. Yes. And it was not.
And then it was not. And I was like, well, I already started. So
well, here we go. This has been on our list for a while.
Yeah.
But yeah. Dang.
And if I get to watching the documentary, maybe we'll do like a follow-up part two.
Yeah, revisit.
And revisit it with like more information if we get the information.
Yeah. Holy cow. That's wild.
Yeah. Let us know what you guys think. And please leave us a review. And if you want to get in touch with us, you can email us at the.ccs.pod@gmail.com.
And don't forget to follow us on Instagram and TikTok at the.ccs.pod. You can also become a patron by going to patreon.com/thecrimeandconspiracyshow. For just $5 a month, you get exclusive content and early access to uncut regular episodes.
You can also find all past episodes on our website, theccspod.buzzsprout.com.
And you can listen to the show wherever you get your podcasts.
We would love to hear from you.
Join us next time.
Stay curious.
Stay alert.
Bye.